Well, better call you back now, because we've got our dear brother Luke, who is going to do part three of our series of maybe the three most important things in our lives. So give him a big welcome.
Before I speak, let's give Elna is going to come and read our scripture for today. So let's give Elna an even bigger welcome. Come on, Elna. I'd sent Elna a voice message this week, or a voice. I called her home phone and left a message. And then Bola texted last night going, Luke, you forgot to tell her what scripture to read. So I then had to send another voicemail this morning. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Go for it, Elna.
The scripture reading is from Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. When the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. But then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Here ends the reading.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elna. Sorry for my unorganization there. Well, good morning. My name's Luke. I'm one of the elders here at the church in Bassett Street. If I haven't met you before, it's really good to have you. I trust that you've had a good start as we've worshipped and celebrated. And now I'm just going to spend probably 20, 25 minutes looking at God's word. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing a series as a church looking at what it means to look upward, to look inwards. And today I'm looking at outwards. And I'll explain a bit more so you don't have to go back and listen quickly now. For my sermon to make any sense. But I want to start with a little story of what happened or started last Sunday. So one of our neighbours, she'd been really unwell. I don't know, she sort of seems to be one of these people who's always a bit unwell, doesn't she, Sarah? Always seems to be a bit unwell. And we chat to her, we say hello to her pretty much every morning when we go to school. And I have never had the boldness to pray for her. But I knew if I wanted to stand up before you this morning and encourage you to share your faith, that I needed to do something. So didn't want to be a hypocrite, and that's not one to be. So last Sunday, we were rushing. I was leading the service last week. We were getting the kids ready, and she sat there outside on the bench because it's nice and sunny. I'm thinking, oh, this is a good opportunity just to quick prayer and then we can crack on. And that was literally it. It wasn't anything glamorous. I just said to her, "Look, I know you've been unwell. Do you mind? You know we go to church and stuff like that. Can I just pray for you?" And she was like, "Oh, okay, yeah." So me and the kids, and she's got a few dogs. We're sort of like sat on her bench outside. The kids are like, "Okay, all right." So we just pray, "Lord, thank you that you love her. Thank you that you care for her. Pray that you'd heal her knee." And that was it. And then we ran to church to get here on time. Then we didn't see her till Tuesday morning. We go out, and she's got her son drops off this giant, like, bulldog, which we go over and have a little cuddle with, and then there's another little dog. And she comes charging out. Luke, you never guess what? Since you prayed, I've slept both nights perfectly and all the pain's gone. Now she's like in her 70s. You can give it, you can, a fan. To which I went, really? And then she goes, "I've been telling everyone. My son, he's been doing the work in the garden. He wants to put a session in with you to pray for his back." I was like, okay. And then she said, "I told the caretaker." And I was like, "I can't believe it." She was like, "I can't believe it." And I go, "Neither can I." But I want to show you that because, like, to be honest, it was out of not wanting to stand up in front of you without some stories to tell that I prayed for. Selfishly motivated. But God used that little moment of my pride, really, to bless her, to love her, and to show my neighbor that he loves her too. And I guess I want to share it because the fact is this, how do we share our faith, is a journey for all of us. We are all, if you're like me, I feel like an absolute beginner. And I want to make that clear that everything I'm going to say, I am trying to learn and grow in myself because it's hard sometimes. But I think I am convinced, if anything, that this is one of the most important things we need to be doing as believers. It's learning how to witness Jesus, be a witness of him, and to make disciples. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to trust that God will help us as I share from his word. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done in our lives, Lord. Thank you that we've been singing about you are good, you are good, you are always good. Thank you for the testimony Joanna shared of Tobiah being safe, Lord, and just thank you that you care for the details of our lives. Thank you for my neighbour. Thank you that she was almost a better witness of you than I was, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we look into this together, you would help us. Help us to grow in our confidence, our boldness, and in our conviction of wanting to share you and make disciples. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So just to summarize the last few weeks, upwards was about loving God, looking upwards. What does it look to lead a worshiping life devoted to him? Inwards, we were looking at how do we love within the church? How do we prefer one another? How do we put others first? How do we care for the needs of the church? And outwards is essentially looking outside of the church. How can we go to the people, go to the nations, go to those around us? The key thing I want to put in your heads is you can't do outwards without the other two. It's not like a pick and choose. This is all part of our expression of our faith. But outwards, I think, is key, is that it's almost like an overflow of the upwards and inwards. It's almost a reflection. And for those of us who are following Jesus here, all of these we should be looking to grow in. We should all be looking to let the Holy Spirit do a work in us that we might become better worshippers of the Lord, more devoted than that, better servers of one another, loving one another, and better at witnessing and sharing our faith. So I'm going to go, what does it mean to be like a disciple or follower? A disciple or, thanks, I drank loads of water and then Sammy drank it as well on the way. So what does it mean to be a disciple or follower of Jesus? Well, the first thing is understanding who he is. He is the Son of God, King of Kings, not just a man, but a perfect man who came to this earth because he loves us. What he did, we came to seek and save the lost. All of us in this room, it says in the Bible, were like sheep and have gone astray. Jesus came to save each and every one of us and everyone out there. Jesus, he died on the cross, taking our guilt, our shame, our failings, all those times which we can look back on our life going, I didn't do that right. He came because of them, because he loves us. And he died on that cross, defeating it and then rising again, so that one day we might be with him in glory. It says in scripture that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're probably already declaring that he is Lord. But actually it says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And that's not my words, that's the word of the Lord saying that. So we should be encouraged that even the people we're sort of nervous of sharing with, they are one day going to bow the knee. They are one day going to call Jesus their Lord and Saviour. Maybe not their saviour. And what Jesus asked of his people, of the followers, is to put their trust in him and follow him. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, it should come up on the screen. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I love this, right? We put our trust in Jesus and the old is gone. The new has come. Now, I know many of you here will be following Jesus for decades. And if you were to say, I can't really remember what it was like before. But the point is, when you put your trust in Jesus and invite the Holy Spirit into your life, there was a new thing done. We are new creations. We can't lose that. So that's sort of like the what does it mean? And then how does it look to be a disciple? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, it says this. Should come up. Have we got the next one? Said, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, that can sound like a lot of words, but essentially it's saying, God, who spoke light into being, has shone his light into us, Jesus. And we are called to share that. We are called to be light. So, the big question, and I'm sure you've heard sermons on this passage before, if you've been following Jesus for any amount of time, what does it look to make disciples? And I think one of the key things, again, I want to say is that programs and courses don't make disciples. People do. Programs and courses do not make disciples. People do. So we are doing Alpha, but the point is we are doing Alpha. And the material will be very well prepared, and it'll be a great time. But actually, it's the people. God wants to use people, not programs and courses. Not, oh, I just need to get my friend to see this thing and all these things. It's actually, no, God is using each and every one of us to make disciples. And we do it out of love. We do it because God loved us, and he's called us to love. Now, discipleship is sometimes, we sometimes get it like, what does that actually mean? Well, think of it like an apprenticeship. Sometimes more helpful. And actually, the examples of discipleship you see in Scripture, Jesus said to his disciples, come and follow me. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, said to the people who were kind of his disciples, imitate me as I imitate Christ. If you've ever had like a junior member of staff, maybe in your workplace, generally there's someone more senior saying, follow me and do what I do. That's essentially what discipleship is. Follow me, do what I do. And I was chatting to Elna a few weeks ago, and I asked her, how did you come to know Jesus? And she said, my family, we grew up, and at 6 a.m., my parents would get all of us up to worship and pray together. Her family put something into her from a very young age that this was a priority in their life. They got up and worshiped and prayed. Even from a young age, we can be discipling, we're apprenticing. This is why we do the kids' work, because we recognize we can be putting stuff into them for the future. It's why we're setting up this Kids and Youth Fund, is so that we can be investing in the children and young people. Because we recognize as a church, it's our responsibility to help them grow and become men and women of the Lord. I want to share a story of some of my friends. I've got a picture here. This is a church plant in Seoul, in South Korea. And three of my friends moved out to South Korea about 3 years ago. And they didn't go to plant a church. They felt that's where God wanted them to go. And they just said, you know what? We are just going to pray and read the Bible every day and see what God does. So that's what they did. They got up every morning and prayed and read together. And this is where they're at 3 years later. God has been saving and adding people to their church, which they meet in someone's home, and they share lives together. And they are seeing God do extraordinary things there in Seoul. So I sat with one of them this week and I said, go on then, what's the formula? How do you do it? And they go, well, we don't go out and do evangelism. And I was like, okay, right, so then how do you do like the sharing and stuff? And they go, well, to be honest, we still just get up, we read the Bible in groups or different people, and then we just end up sharing it throughout their day. Because when someone at the coffee shop asks them how their day was, one of them might go, do you know what, I was really stressed, and then I prayed about it, and then God really helped that. Or they've read a scripture that someone's sharing something at their work, and they just go, oh, this reminded me of something I read in the Bible today. They basically have learned how to live their lives in a way that it's not like a bolt-on. You know, like on phone contracts, you can get like a bolt-on to make your boost your data or something like that. Sharing our faith should just be part of our everyday life. Whether you're a nurse, whether you're a teacher, whether you work in a shop, there's always going to be opportunities. There's people everywhere. And actually, I'm sure if we were praying or someone said, oh, I'm struggling with this in this setting, we'd all happily go, well, should we just pray about that quickly? Or it reminds me of that scripture. I was chatting to my friends and they said, we basically just do the same, but outside the church as well. Because we love them. We want to learn how to do that. I found that so challenging. Because I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. But the fact is, we have such a wonderful and good God. But if you're anything like me, you might find it easier to share about a recipe or a great film you've watched than you would about the extraordinary work of Jesus in our lives. Which I don't mean to, like, it's just, we've got to learn how to do this, right? We've got to learn. Because I think if we were to really look at the last week and go, how has God been good to me this week? We just start from there. Start from there, the things we're thankful. We do it with our kids and it can be anything. From a rabbit to a TV show to some food or the sky. Simple things. But these are the things that actually I want to be sharing about more of them. And as we concentrate on like the upwards and outwards elements, upwards and inwards, then the outwards, I believe, will just begin to flow. Because we're allowing the Word of God to shape us, and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to help us, and we're actually practicing how to love well because we're doing it within the church, so that it just becomes easy outside of the church. And I believe that God will really use that. It's important as well, we need the Holy Spirit, because this is not something we are going to be able to do just to, I'm going to summon myself up to do this. It's actually, we need to be in God's Word. We need to be asking the Holy Spirit for help, and He will help us. Going to read a passage which you all would have heard, I'm sure, if you've been in church even a small amount of time, from Matthew 5. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We are only going to become salty people and people full of the light by looking to God for this help. You are not just going to be salty or bright light in the darkness by yourselves. Or you might be salty if you're one of the young kids. That means like being having a bad mood or cussing someone. We don't want that kind of saltiness. We need the Holy Spirit's help. In our workplaces, we should look different. The way we react to situations should be different. In our family settings, I don't know if you're like me, like getting involved in like planning a family event, it's like, oh my goodness. But actually, we should look different in those conversations. In our neighbourhoods, we should look different. That's actually a really good thing. That's a mark of us being believers. But being light, it's like we should be able to bring hope. Shouldn't be hidden. Do you know what I mean? We should be known where we go. Oh, that person's always really full of joy. That person's really encouraging. That person's really friendly. How great to be known like that. Rather, we don't want to be known. That person's always a bit moany. That person's always a bit grumpy. That person's always got a problem. That's not being light. That's not shining the light of Jesus. I was thinking about this. I was like, you know, I shared the example of like being stressed. Imagine if someone says to you, "Oh, I had a really stressful week." And then you could share this verse from Philippians 4. "Oh, I read in my Bible," or the person on Sunday was speaking, said this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Imagine being able to share that with someone. A peace that goes beyond the understanding of the situation. Well, we would share that in this room. 100%. I'm pretty sure most of us would be happy sharing that if someone's stressful. And this is a challenge to myself as much as it is you, because I'm like, okay, if I'm saying this, I've got to be up for doing this. But I think it's true. Simple. But do you know what? That is really stressful. But actually, the Bible says that God can give us a peace that surpasses all understanding when we give it to Him. So can I pray with you now? It's like simple stuff. It's simple. And sometimes people are a bit weirded out by prayer. I saw this really great tweet from a Christian rapper, and he said this. A man was asked, "What did you gain by regularly praying to God?" And the man replied, "Sometimes nothing, but let me tell you what I lost. Anger, ego, greed, insecurity, anxious thoughts and fear. Sometimes the answer to our prayers is not gaining, but losing, which is the gain." It's great, isn't it? Sometimes prayer is like, we think of prayer as like, I need some more money, I need to pay the rent, I need to pay the bills, I need a job. But actually, how many times actually do we have more answers to these kind of prayers? "God, I'm really stressed. God, I need some help. God, I've been proud. Would you help me be humble?" I think this is so important. And again, we can share this. Because I know when people question me, I'm like, I don't quite know the answer to that one. Let me pray about it. I think we should be encouraged because We need to love. Through love and the Holy Spirit, I believe that the Holy Spirit will lead us to what the Bible calls like this sense of people of peace. Now, you might have heard that phrase in Christian circles or if you've been around church enough, but essentially, people of peace is someone who might be open and receptive to the gospel. I don't know if you've ever shared and it felt like that person was actually really listening in a way that you're like, oh, they've never listened before. I look at my neighbor and think, actually, I think God has revealed her as someone that you kind of go, we need to not let that be the only moment we share with her. That'd be the only moment we're with her. And these people of peace can often be gateways into areas that we never thought even possible to share the gospel. Communities. I know we're looking at how we do helping people who English is their second language. How cool would it be if God provides a person of peace into that community, into a language that many of us in this room don't even speak? But the fact is, we need people who speak that language to be able to help share. And it may also be people we've already met. And as I'm talking about it, I believe that the Holy Spirit will be highlighting people in your minds going, oh yeah, they probably are that. They have always seemed to be open. They've always been happy for me to share. And I encourage you, keep loving them. Keep blessing them. Be on the front foot. I was trying to think of like an example of how we can sort of work out what this person of peace might look like. And my heart always goes to food, really, of like a food example. So who's ever tried to pick a ripe avocado from a shop? Yeah? Always. And how do you work it out? Squeeze it. And how have you learned which ones are the ripe ones? By cutting it open. Well, the thing is, you don't really know it's quite ripe until you cut it open and go, it's ripe, right? So if I said to someone who's never picked an avocado, go and find a ripe avocado, that's a much harder game. But the more you get used to it, the more you kind of go, yeah, that's a good one. That one's too far gone. You know, sometimes in the shop, you're like, nope, put that one back there. But the point is, we're looking for ripeness. We're getting to learn what that looks like. And that's the encouragement for us. What does it look like to work out how to share our faith? We just practice and then we'll start to find people of peace. The Bible even says that if sometimes you share your faith and they don't receive you, shake off the dust off your feet and carry on. Exactly when you find an avocado that isn't ripe, you don't go, oh, it might come good soon. You don't kind of go, no, I'll leave that one. I'll get the one I need. You're finding the ripeness. And I believe the Holy Spirit can help us in that. Because ripeness, and as words we use in the Bible loads, is about harvest. We talk about it here. Jesus says the fields are white. They are ready for harvest. I read this from John 4:34, which is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And it says, yeah, there you go. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Now this scripture, when we first talked about this potential Bassett Street journey, what God might be doing, this was one of the first scriptures God brought me to. One sows and another reaps. Because this building, the churches that have been gathering in the building for over a century, have been sowing. There is no one currently in this room who was here when the first church met in this building. So we are reaping and going to be reaping for stuff that we didn't sow. That's beautiful. This scripture says that we will one day, the sower and reaper will rejoice together. So there's that. But then I also want us to be, as a church, sowing for stuff that we may not even reap. Stuff that we may not ever see the fruit of. Because people over the generations have been doing the same. Our responsibility isn't the saving. It's not our responsibility to go and get people saved. If we suddenly had that attitude as a church, get them prayed, get them into the water, great, they're part of the church, get them serving, da, 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 da. That's not what we're about. We let the Holy Spirit do the saving. But our responsibility is loving people, sharing our faith, being witnesses of Jesus. Just in the same way in a courtroom, people give witnesses, like statement accounts. We should be able to give a witness of what Jesus has done in our life. That's our responsibility. And I believe even now, people will be sowing seeds. My neighbor, I may not be the person who gets to reap that harvest. May not be. That's fine. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to keep sowing. But then back in October, there was someone who came to the church who's been baptized. And I had the real privilege of harvesting, essentially. But I wasn't involved in her journey really at all. People have been praying for her. People have been sharing the gospel with her. And the point we sat down at the front and I got to lead her in kind of praying and repenting. I got to be part of the harvest, but I wasn't part of the sowing. That's cool. It's cool that our responsibility isn't that. Our responsibility is to love and share. And I believe God will do extraordinary things here. Because actually we go, I'm part of something much bigger. Something much bigger. This is not about just me, what can I do? It's about us moving together. And some of us are better at sharing than others. And that's okay. That's okay. Learn off them, grow off them, encourage them, saying, can I learn off you? So if someone came up to me and said, oh, Luke, I'd really love to learn how you do that, that'd be really encouraging, but also then it would keep me sharp. I'll go, okay. And that's actually what we're meant to do as believers, sharpening one another, encouraging one another, building one another up. And I believe we can do that as a church. So to summarize all of this, upwards, inwards, outwards, our heart is that we grow deeper in a love for God. Much deeper. Whole new levels. Worshipping, learning what it is to be living sacrifices for our God, recognizing that we are now new, not old, because of what he's done. Grow deeper in our love for the church. This Sunday service is not the church. We are the church. Throughout the week, on the texts, on WhatsApps, on emails, on voice messages, in cafes, in people's homes. That's the church. How do we grow in love? How do we do that? And I believe as we learn how to do these two things well, I believe that God will lead us into a harvest that we are ready for because we're doing it with him, with his Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray because I think it's so important that actually all of this we cannot do without his Holy Spirit. But I want to encourage you this week. Let's be on the front foot. Be thinking, oh, if I was at a prayer meeting, how might this conversation look in comparison to being in the office? And I know there'll be different dynamics, but actually, let's be on the front foot in terms of how we can be sharing, how we can be loving, and seeing God do an extraordinary thing through us. Lord, I thank you that you came to this earth to seek and save the lost, to which all of us were then. Thank you, Lord, that many of us have come to know you and to know your love. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help us. Help us to be witnesses of you. To be able to share our faith. To be able to glorify you. I pray as a church we would be known for our love, Lord, because people see how we love in ways that the world doesn't. Pray that help us to be salty in our workplaces, in our families, in our homes. Lord, that there'd be just a different flavor about us that people just go, oh, wow, there must be something different about them. I pray, Lord, would you help us not to be ever ashamed of your gospel, Lord. Pray, Lord, let us have a boldness that you begin to grow inside us to share what you're doing in our lives, Lord, from the simple things to bigger and bigger things, Lord. I pray that we might, as a church, gain more and more stories of what you're doing, how you're working in our lives, Lord, how you're saving people. I pray that we might begin to reap what others have sown, Lord. Humbling as that is, Lord, and I pray that at the same time we would be humble enough to sow where we may not reap. Give us such wisdom, Lord. I pray you give us wisdom where those people of peace are, Lord, that ripe, are ready to share, are ready to be shared with. I pray that you'd help us in that, Lord. I pray that amongst all the stresses of life, Lord, we'd have a real openness to sharing you. Help us, Lord. That's my main prayer, Lord, is you help us, Lord. I know it's not our responsibility to save. It's not ours, that's yours. I pray you'd help us as a church to be loving and sharing, and you do an extraordinary thing amongst that.
Thank you, Luke. Really helpful. It's so helpful when I talk, you kind of can reach it where we are. Just wanted to just share something for us to do from Luke's talk. If you can find, Phil, 1 Peter 3:15 NIV. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And just think, can I do this? Okay. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It's kind of got a nice feel about it, that thing. Okay, I can be gentle, I can be respectful, but am I ready? Am I ready? And I do believe that when we are ready and asking God, he will give us opportunities. Just as happened with Luke. This week, Joe was one of the doctors. A doctor came up to her and his partner has got serious illness, very serious illness. He said to her, oh, Joe, he said, you'd be really interested in this. He's become really religious. I mean, really religious. and so Joe asked a bit more. And she didn't even know that the doctor knew she was a Christian. But just because of the way that she was, and on her job application when she started years ago, she'd put, I'm a committed Christian. So they kind of knew. But then, you know, when the situation comes and the opportunity is there, you know, that like Luke was saying, that person was ready for an answer. I don't even know what Joe said, but I just saw, wow, there's an opportunity, isn't there, to share how good Jesus is. And there may be an opportunity to pray because that story hasn't ended. So I want to just suggest that this week that we pray that, Lord, make me ready. And give me an opportunity. And let's see what happens. Let's see if there are any stories. We've got Alpha coming, haven't we? And it's really easy to give somebody a card and say, well, actually, we've got this thing. It happened this week with somebody who was inquiring. And, oh, we just happened to have this course going. Would you like to come? So I want to pray one more time. And then it's Tom, do you mind just leading us in a final song? Father, just put up your hand. Yeah, come musicians. But just put up your hand if you want to pray that prayer. Lord, make me ready and give me an opportunity. And, you know, it's not an easy prayer because actually when you say that, you're saying, Lord, if an opportunity comes, then I want you to equip me to do it. So let's all stand, shall we, and pray for this readiness of heart. Father, we just thank you for the wonderful encouragement Luke's given us this morning, Lord. This simple thing. And Lord, oh boy, you know, for most of us, this is not our comfort zone. It's not mine. It's for most of us here. It's not the thing that we do best, Lord. But we want to be ready, Lord, if somebody asks us, what is it about you? What's this difference? Why don't you do this? That we would have an answer for them, Lord, and be able to explain what that answer is, Lord. Would we progress as a church, Lord, onto that step where we are at least ready, that you would give us the help when that opportunity comes? We thank you for the Alpha. We thank you for teaching us. We thank you we're on a journey. We may feel we're far back on the journey. I feel that myself. But Lord, would you help us in this season, Lord, Father, because we want to do the things that you have told us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, go. Yeah, go.
It was really nice to thank you for the talk. I just want to share something that just came into my heart. You just said, you know, to go out and to share. I did a lot of running, like 15 marathons I ran. To run a marathon requires a lot of training. When a soldier goes to a war, he goes through a training. If the soldier goes to a war without being trained, it's a danger for themselves and for the team. So what I would encourage you as a church is let's train ourselves. The Lord says, shut the door and pray and read the Word of God. That is a training exercise. So that when we're going to share with someone, we don't give our opinion. We say the Word of God. Yesterday there was a man came yesterday to my coffee shop. He was very eloquent person, very knowledgeable. In my heart I said, Lord, I don't know. Help me. Lord, Holy Spirit, speak through me to him. And he said about religion, I said, look, I've been three religions. Religions are different from being a relationship with the Lord. That is different. We have free will to do what we want. But Jesus teaches us the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not telling them my opinion. I'm telling what Jesus says. So at that moment, the Lord says to Moses, when you are there, I will be with you. I will talk through you. He was saying, I can't talk. The Lord will talk in that second to you. Know your opinion. Don't give your opinion. Give the Word of God. And the Word of God will penetrate and divide the heart and the spirit, he says. It will divide. And they cannot say nothing. Had the opportunity to 45 minutes to talk to this guy. And he couldn't move sight. And here is the Alpha course. If you are interested, please have a look. While we were talking, his mom called him. He said, 1 second, I am important thing talking now. I'll call you in 2 minutes. He put his mom on side, but he was interesting now. He was not engaging my opinion. He was engaged on what I was sharing the Word of God with him. So I will encourage you, let's get the Bible, write down. Look, it's a miracle that I'm talking now in English. 25 years I couldn't talk a word. God trained me, and is training me. So let's share like that. So when you go out, you will have the boldness. In Romans says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power. So you're going to go out there and talk to the people, know your opinion. Word of God.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, it's flowing, it's flowing. Yeah, I was just reminded of a song lyric, of a Delirious song. And it is what you just shared at the end there. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the one I love. And when Luke was talking, I just felt prompted actually just to pray that we would not be fearful. I'm going to pray. Let's just open. Lord, Holy Spirit, I just pray, would you help us not to have fear of man? Lord, that we not be fearful of what we think people might think of us. We would not be fearful of maybe feeling silly or that feeling of being shamed. But Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us to be more fearful of you and what you think and what you're saying to us. And Lord, I pray as we do that, as we prefer your voice over ours and what our flesh may say sometimes, that actually as we act, as the words come out of our mouth, as we step out in faith, Lord, that we would know that you are holding us, that you are over us, that you are in us, you're with us in that moment. And actually your power would just speak out of our mouth. Lord, I pray, would you give us a conviction of obedience? Lord, that we would just want to just obey you more than anything else in this world. And what other voices might shout at us or say to us, or we might be hearing over us, Lord, we need you, Holy Spirit. But Lord, I pray as you make those small things of just fearing you rather than man, Lord, that we would shake off any feeling of shame, that we would shake off any feeling of things that might just be hindering us, so that we can step into all that you have for us, that actually we can see people come to know you, because that is our call on this earth, to see people saved, that you would use us, Lord. We want to see things happen for your glory, so use us. And help us not to feel shame, that we would not be ashamed of the one that we love. Amen. Amen.
I was just thinking about the avocados, and it spoke to me a lot, actually. And I felt the Holy Spirit fluttering in my heart, so I thought, well, get up there. But anyway, Paul said to me one long time ago, But I haven't sort of obeyed it until now. When Elaine shared a picture about a kite, it confirmed that Paul said that some people in our lives, we have to put them on the back burner. And I felt that's to do with the avocados. So some are overripe. Well, I don't quite know where they are. But anyway, some are very hard. And sometimes we have to sow and we have to put people slightly to the back and not devote a lot of time to them at that time. And then the ones that are soft and ready are the ones that we need to spend the time with. And I, in my life, have got it completely the wrong way around. And I've spent a lot of time with people who I should have popped back a little and been more obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I think we have to have the Holy Spirit when we go and buy our fruit and vegetables. And we have to have the Holy Spirit's guidance with how to spend our time. So we haven't got much.
Amen. Let's just end by singing the gospel. How deep the Father's love for us.
Praise you, Lord. Lord, may that be the words we speak this week to our friends, to our colleagues.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We'll finish there. We're going to get some coffee. If there's anything burdening you, you'd like somebody to pray for, find a friend, maybe someone near you, or come and grab one of myself or Luke, and we'd love to pray with you. One more thing, the Alpha Course. If you'd like to sign up for the Alpha Course and you haven't quite got round for it, I can do it with you right now. So do grab me and I can sign you up for the Alpha Course as you wait.